Hallelujah. You can always overcome by the word of God. So this morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts, reverently and with a heart of meekness. We approach your word and we humble ourselves to ask that you speak to us, because we are your servants and we have ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us as your church. Give us enlightenment that we may understand by revelation the truth that you present to us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth, now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 12. First, I'm going to read verse 56 to set the tone to what we are looking at this morning, at least for the next few minutes. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Amen. Now I'll back it up to verse 54 so we can get it in a bit of context and understand what Jesus is saying, because for us to walk in natural wisdom is very easy for us, even as Christians, because we all are intelligent people. We can look at things naturally speaking and say 1 + 1 = 2, 2 × 2 = 4, and things like that. But now he's challenging us to come up to higher levels where we begin to interpret things in the spirit and not just rely on this natural world and the natural senses that we have. Because as Christians, we have a higher realm to operate from. Bible says we are seated together in Ephesians chapter 2. We have been made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. So we can operate from a higher realm. There is the realm of the spirit that is available for us as Christians, and that is where Jesus expects us to be operating from. Not just to rely on our natural senses alone. We can compare the natural with natural, use our natural senses for things that are natural in this world, but then tap into the realm of the spirit and open up to ourselves that realm to understand things that will help us defeat this low system of this world and the devil who is the god of this present system that we have in the world as evil. Now in verse 54, Jesus said, and he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. In other words, you are right. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. In other words, you are right again. So you can look at things naturally and get them accurately. How come you can look at things spiritually and get them accurately? And that's where we are going this morning. How do we tap into that realm where we belong? How do we begin to take advantage of God's own insight to live by it in this world and defeat the system of this world? Because the insight we get from God defeats the enemy that is in this world. It's as simple as that. How many of us know that the devil has limited knowledge? He doesn't know everything. That's why he tries to, let me put it this way, he tries to eavesdrop on you to hear what you are saying so that I can know what you are planning and then try to stop that plan. He doesn't know everything. He only knows the things that he can see you do and hear you say. The things that are in your heart, the devil doesn't know. There's only one person who knows what is in your heart, and that is God. And many of us, in opening our mouth too much, we give the devil advantage over us. Well, you don't need to talk too much. Bible says, you know, when we speak few words, we are wise. Because we can keep things where it belongs, in our heart, in communion with God, and not give the devil the room that he wants in our lives. Well, here, what do we then do? Let's back up to right there in Luke chapter 12. How do we begin to apply this to the days we are living in? To discern the times and know what to do. There are two things I want to mention here today as we look at this subject. Number one, in walking in discernment of the times and the days we are living in, understanding things from God's perspective, there are two advantages that God wants us to get. Number one, the advantage of preparing ourselves ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That is, in fact, the number one thing. Because we are sojourners here on earth, Bible says. This is not our home. Jesus is coming to take us home. And the rapture can happen anytime, we don't know. But the rapture can happen today, we don't know. The rapture can happen 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, nobody knows. Jesus said nobody knows the time, nobody knows the hour. But he says one thing, be ready. Because it's coming at a time that we don't even know. So we just have to be ready. There's no point trying to figure out when will it be. Is it going to be in 2023 or in 2025? Stop wasting your time. Just concentrate on being ready. That's all. And that's why Jesus is saying we have to learn to discern the times and get ourselves ready. Hallelujah. So that's one aspect we are going to be looking at. And then the second aspect we are going to be looking at from the Word of God in discerning the times is also to know what we should be doing to defeat the system of this world and defeat the devil and defeat every work of the devil in these last days. There's nothing the devil is doing in these last days that God has not already given us victory over. So it doesn't matter what the devil is doing, all the evil in the world, the rumors of war and the destruction and the plagues, God has already given us victory over all of them. But we have to walk in discernment and hook up with that realm of the Spirit to walk in the victory. That's what Jesus is saying to us here, challenging us. And we shall see very clearly in Scripture this morning. Now, back up with me to verse 35. Luke chapter 12, let your loins be gathered about and your lights burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Please underline that in your Bible. Don't live here on earth as if this is all there is to life. No. You are here in this world. You are not of this world. You have to be living every day as somebody that is waiting for Jesus to come. Hallelujah. That's one of the discernments that God wants us to have in these last days. Again, verse 36, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. At this juncture, we all know this anyway. We all know the parable of the 10 virgins, don't we? We know that the 10 of them had lamps, 5 of them had extra oil. But the mistake all of them made was that they all fell asleep because the bridegroom was taking long. We shouldn't fall asleep at all. So don't even read that story and say, well, I can fall asleep. And then when I hear the sound, then I'll wake up. No, don't fall asleep at all. If our Bible says we should be awake, we shall see it in Scripture in a short while. We should be awake. We should discern the times and be awake. There's no point falling asleep. And make sure that you have the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life at all times. Hallelujah. And we get this by spending time in the Word of God and in prayer. This is how we sharpen our spiritual senses and get ourselves ready at all times for the move of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Now, verse 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Please underline that in your Bible. What Jesus expects us to be doing at all times is to be watching. Watching means to be in a state of alertness, looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And that happens by you spending time in the Word of God, meditating it day and night. The same way the day of Pentecost happened. Remember, they were in the upper room, they were in the Word, and they were in prayer. And suddenly, the day of Pentecost came. Now, the rapture is going to happen the same way too. And those who are ready are those who are in the Word and in prayer. Not just those who say, I'm a Christian. No, I'm telling you, so many so-called Christians will be left behind because they are not ready. They are like the five foolish virgins. Those who are left behind were virgins, not unbelievers. Virgins talks about the bride of Christ. So it's talking about the church. Not everybody who is speaking in tongues. Let's put it that way. We go with the rapture. Because some of us are too carnally minded. We are not even sensitive in the spirit. So when the spirit is pulling the church, we are insensitive to him. So we'll be left behind. It's a pull of the spirit. And it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. There's no room for repentance. If we are not ready, we are not ready. That's just it. And that's why we have to be like the early church. Stay in the Word and stay in prayer day and night. There's no way you'll miss the rapture that way. Absolutely. Because your spirit is alert. And you are well connected with the Holy Spirit who is going to gather the church unto Christ. Alright, so it says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. See, that's how some Christians are. They are trying to figure out when the rapture will take place. And then if they can just find out, then they will prepare towards that time. No, there's no way you can know when it will take place. That's why Jesus is saying, just be ready. You know, in the world, some people are smart. So, in quote, they just look at things and say, they can determine, okay, this when this will happen. Okay, that's the time I'm going to to put in my investment, my bid, and get the yield. Ha ha! And make the money. But in the things of the spirit, it's not like that. Just be ready at all times. Because we don't know when it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Just be ready. Just be ready. Just be ready. So, it goes on. And it says in verse 40, be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Please underline that in your Bible. So Jesus is coming for his church at an hour when we don't even expect. That's why we just need to be ready. So that anytime he chooses to come, we are ready to go because we are watching. We are alert in the spirit. We are sensitive. We can discern the times. Write this scripture down. Look it up on your own. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32 talks about the children, the tribe of Issachar, who were Issachar was one of the sons of Jacob, the ninth son of Jacob, born of Leah unto Jacob. And Bible says they were men of understanding. They had discernment of the times so that they could tell Israel what Israel ought to do. See the key? When we can discern things in the spirit, we will know what to do when others don't know what to do. And that's why we'll be steps ahead of the devil. I'm telling you, even in these last days, Christians are going to be tapping into some wisdom that the people of the world can't tap into. I won't be surprised if many of us sitting here this morning get wisdom from God to do some things that will turn your life around in just one day, like a dream. One day you are thinking you don't have this. The next day you are talking of abundance of this because of the wisdom of God. Because God gives us the wisdom to get wealth, doesn't he? And Bible says in the last days there is going to be a great wealth transfer into the hands of Christians. The wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just. How do you think the money is going to come? By us going to labor 9 to 5? No. It is by God giving you wisdom to make the money better than the people of the world. And they will have to come to you, become the one employing them. Because you treat them well. You bring honor to God by the way you treat your workers. You give them nice wages. God has said all these things. And he will bring it to pass. And it's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to be sensitive and connect with that realm so that we can, let me use the word we use now in technology, so that we can download. Download wisdom from heaven. Hallelujah. You become like a receiver here. You just download it from heaven. And you wake up. God says, go and do this. And you go and do it. Wow. Praise God. Wasn't that how Isaac prospered? He downloaded it from heaven. There was famine all around. But God told him, sow in that famine. And he sowed. He obeyed God. I don't know how God made seed to grow in a dry ground. But I'm talking about God who knows how to irrigate something supernaturally. And Isaac prospered. And Isaac, actually, Bible says, was greater than the whole land of the Philistines. The king of the Philistines came to him and begged him to leave the country. Because he was mightier than the whole country. One man was greater than the whole country. Richer than the whole country. We are talking about God. Get ready for such kind of transfer in this life, this for people that God can trust. God won't give it to you if you take the money and just travel around the world and and go sightseeing. No, God won't give you the money for that. He's going to give you the money for his own glory. So you use it to glorify him and bring souls to him. Hallelujah. Because when he told Abraham that he was going to bless Abraham, he said, I'll bless you and you shall be a blessing. He didn't say, well, I'll bless you and you sit upon the blessing. That's what the people of the world do. They have billions stashed away in bank accounts and they don't even look after any poor people. And then they die and the money is wasted. But when the money comes into your hand as a child of God, you use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's what we are talking about. So the money is coming by the wisdom of God. That's why we need to begin to tap into that realm now and connect ourselves with the Holy Spirit and let him do what he alone can do for the glory of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Also, let's turn quickly to Romans chapter 13. So I'm just going to give you the framework. I want you to go back home and study and put everything put flesh on what we are giving you as framework. By that I mean add scriptures and understanding to the basics that we are sharing this morning. As you do so, of course, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. Now, Romans chapter 13. We have to discern the times. We have to walk in discernment. We have to know the days we are living in. These days are great days for the people of God. There are times of woe for the people of the world, but there are times of great glory for the church and God in the midst of his people. Isaiah also prophesied it ahead of time, Isaiah chapter 60. Darkness, he said, will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But you and I, as God's own people, will arise and shine because our light has come in the midst of the darkness and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. When the glory of God rises upon you, in fact, great things will happen. In fact, if you study that Isaiah 60, further down, he said, and the forces of the Gentiles will come to you. The riches of the Gentiles will come to you because of the glory of God. So all the wealth of the sinners, all the billions that they have put away, somehow will come to you. In the midst of the darkness, because they are in perplexity, they are confused, they can't eat their money. Maybe they don't even have food to eat. But angels bring you food every day. In fact, they will come and buy food from you. You need to go back and study what happened in Egypt in the time of famine. how God gave Joseph wisdom. All the princes of Egypt had to come to Joseph to get food. After some time, he took all their money because they had to buy the food, and they spent all their money and they were hungry. So they came and said, well, we still need food, but we don't have anything to pay. He said, well, go and start laboring on the farm and farming so that Pharaoh could hold more land. So whatever I told them to do, they did. Pharaoh became very rich because of the wisdom of Joseph in the midst of the famine. That's what we are talking about. So those rich people will come to you. Maybe by the time they are so hungry, they are ready to die. And then you tell them, well, this bowl of meal will cost you 1 billion. Say, I will even give you 2 billion for it. What do I need the money? I can't eat the money. Just take 2 billion. You give them a bowl of food for 2 billion. In one day, you're a billionaire. You understand what we are talking about? It's happened before. It will happen again. I'm not telling you fables. I'm telling you the truth. God is going to transfer the wealth into the hands of his people. That's why we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Connect with the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do what he alone can do. This is not going to be by our human power. It's not going to be by our human mind. It's going to be by the Spirit of the living God. All right. Romans chapter 13. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 13. I'll begin to read from verse 11. And that, knowing the time. Again, you see, we have to know the time, like Jesus said. We have to know the time. Don't just lean on natural interpretation of things. Let's begin to know the time in the Spirit and be alert in the Spirit and be sensitive. And this is done again by spending time in the Word and in prayer. As Christians now, we have to spend more time in the Word and in prayer than ever before. Don't get yourself too busy that you don't have time for God, because God is the one that will make the difference in your life and in my life in these last days. It's not going to be by us trying to outsmart the people of the world, leaning on our own human understanding. It's going to be by the grace of God. It's going to be by the wisdom of God. It's going to be by God's own hand upon us, blessing us even in famine, like it blessed Isaac. And that knowing, we have to know this. We have to know it. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. In other words, put away the flesh now. Let's walk in the Spirit. That's what he's saying in Usher. Why? Because the flesh lost against the Spirit. If we are going to walk in the Spirit, we have to put aside the flesh in us, our own ways, our own, natural ways, and embrace the ways of the Spirit of God. Now, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So it's time for us to begin to walk in the Spirit. That's what the Bible is saying. Put the flesh aside, because God is about to do some great things in the church and through the church. The whole of creation is waiting, Bible says, for the manifestation of the sons of God. The time is upon us. That's why God is waking us up. Awake, awake. The Spirit is saying to us, let us awake, because now is high time for us to do so as the people of God. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 21. So what should we be doing? Again, then we'll see why doing what Jesus tells us to do will make us to be ready, connecting with the realm of the Spirit, and concurrently at the same time give us the victory over the devil and the system of this world. Two key things to do all the time. When you are doing that, you don't need to worry about anything else. When you are in the Word and in prayer, you've done everything necessary. No more. The early church didn't have anything else to do. That was what they were doing. Right in the book of Acts there, from the time they were added to the church, they continued steadfastly, Bible says, in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in prayer. That was what they were doing. And the devil tried to stop them in Acts chapter 6 by causing division in the church, but the apostles outsmarted him and said, well, this is no reason for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. We'll give some people charge over that, but we'll give ourselves continually, you see the key, to the ministry of the word and prayer. As long as you are doing those two things, you don't need anything else to do. You don't even need to worry about anything else. While you are doing it, the Holy Spirit is sharpening up your spirit, connecting you with that realm of God where you can download every resource that God wants you to have here on earth as his child. And at the same time, while you are in that place of the word and prayer, you are defeating the devil and the system of this world. Don't you know that prayer can get you out of trouble? James chapter 5 verse 13. Bible says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Which means prayer will get you out of trouble. Don't you know that when you are sick, prayer can heal you? The same James chapter 5 says, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. So that means prayer destroys the works of the devil. Oh, you lack wisdom. Don't you know prayer will give you the wisdom? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And in Philippians 4 verse 6 that we love to read all the time, in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't worry. Prayer can defeat worry for you. So you begin to see how important it is for us to just do what Jesus tells us to do here in Luke chapter 21 in these last days. We need to be more diligent in the word and in prayer. That's all. Don't make a long list of do's and don'ts. Just say, well, I just need to get into my word, into my Bible, the word of God, and prayer more than ever before. And do it diligently and consistently. That's all. You don't need to worry about anything else. The Holy Spirit will do the rest for you. It will connect you with the throne of grace in heaven, where you can get all the help that you need here. And it will also become the greater one to defeat the devil for you while you are in this world. The battle is the Lord's. You just do what God says to do. Spend time in the word and in prayer. Luke chapter 21, again, the background is that the disciples had been asking Jesus questions about the end times. Like many in the church today are interested in end times. I just said to them, well, forget about end times. You just focus on what Jesus says to do. That's all. Because trying to figure out information about the end time is actually a distraction. It's a trick the devil is playing on many Christians, and they are not aware because they are not sensitive in the spirit. What's my business with the time Jesus is coming? He told me that blessed is the servant whom, when he comes, will find watching. So let me concentrate on doing that. So that when he decides to come anytime, he will find me doing what he expects me to be doing. And the rest is not my own. Hallelujah. But if I leave that undone and I'm saying, what time are we on the clock of end time event? Are we near the 24-hour clock or near the 14-hour clock? Well, you are not even watching anyway. When that time comes, you'll be left behind still looking for the time. And the Christians are already gone. And then suddenly you realize, they have gone. They're gone. But why did I miss it? Well, you weren't found doing what Jesus said to do. You are doing the wrong thing. He didn't say, blessed is the servant who, when I come, will be looking at the clock to find out when I'm coming. He said, blessed is the servant who, when I come, will be found in the word and prayer. He even told Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. You see that prayer and watching, which is spending time in the word, can help us defeat the devil who is the tempter. Luke 21. Oh, hallelujah. Now, take time to study the whole passage. Now, verse 24 says, and take heed to yourselves. Again, this is where choice making comes. You have to make the right choice for yourself. I can encourage you with what I'm saying here, but I can't choose for you. I have to choose for myself. You have to choose for yourself. That's why Jesus said, take heed to yourself. Give attention. Pay attention. Make the right choices. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, what is the solution? The solution is there in verse 36. Watch ye therefore. Therefore, key word there, therefore. In other words, for you not to miss it. For you not to miss the mark. Do what Jesus is saying here. Watch. Watch. Be alert in the spirit. And the only way you can be alert in the spirit is by spending time in the word of God that can separate the flesh from the spirit in you, and also praying for the Holy Spirit that is in you to be active in your life. There's no other way. No special formula. That's the only way. The word and prayer. The word and prayer. The word and prayer. Watch ye therefore and pray when you have time. Is that what the Bible says? So how are you going to be able to obey this? You'll have to make time. Because we are living in a busy world. We all have busy schedules, isn't that so? Jesus didn't say, watch and pray when you are less busy. He said, do it always. Which means the onus now is on you to walk in wisdom and make time to do what Jesus says to do. Because he must find you doing so when he comes. No excuses. Remember how he called people and they began to make excuses? Remember the account in the Bible? One of them said, well, I just married a wife. Let me go and see her first. Another said, I've just bought an ox. Let me go and try. They're all lying. You can't buy something without trying it first. They should just have told Jesus, well, I don't have time to follow you. They thought they were smart. Oh God, have mercy. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Please understand that. God has planned for us to escape every evil that is in this world. You don't even need to entertain fear of any kind of evil, any kind of loss, any kind of damage. The devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but you don't need to entertain fear about him at all if you are doing what Jesus says to do. Just watch and pray. God will take care of everything for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. For the sake of time, let's just turn and pray this morning. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. We are going to use that to pray one-on-one with the Lord. You take that scripture and commune with God from the depth of your heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh, thank you, Lord. Then we just touch and agree together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will help us. Help every one of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to talk to God in agreement with that verse of scripture. Ask him to direct your heart. Surrender to him. And say, Lord, you are Lord over my life. I give my heart to you. As the clay would yield to the potter, I surrender my heart to you. Lead me, guide me, show me the way. Help me to please you. Help me to obey you. Help me to be found doing what you expect me to be doing every day of my life. So that I can be ready to go with you whenever you come. Number one. And number two. So that I can have your input in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit to defeat the devil and the system of this world. Direct my heart, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and talk to him one-on-one. Talk to him one-on-one. In the name of Jesus. Say prayers like this are prayers of surrender. It doesn't even take long. It's just a purpose in our heart. Because God is looking on the inside of the heart when he finds that right choice, that humble approach from us. that meekness from us, yielding to him, saying, oh God, have my heart. Because I know when you have my heart, you have my life. You'll be the one leading me, guiding me, showing me the way, helping me to do everything according to your will. For you are the one who is at work in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure, Bible says. So I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you've done that, let's also thank God that the grace of God works in every heart in the church. Everyone who is called by the name of Jesus, that grace is stirred in our hearts everywhere this morning. The prompting of the Holy Spirit helping everyone to surrender our hearts to the Lord. That we don't just pay lip service to this Christian faith, but that we become a people that walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in his knowledge day by day. Our hearts established in the Spirit, that we may walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Setting our affection, as Bible says, on the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand side of the Father, day by day, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you move upon every heart in your church at this time to walk this grace in everyone. That we all, with hearts that are yielded to you, may walk in the ways you have called us to walk, while we wait for your return. For in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song through once. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. And in his presence daily live. Hallelujah.